Amen. In mid-December in 1955, my father received a call from Brooklyn, New York, from his brother to say that his father had died in Tennessee. And so my father had to get ready. He was not a driver, so he had to wait for my uncle to come from Brooklyn over the Brooklyn Ferry to Staten Island to pick him up. And my brother, my eldest brother, was designated to go with Dad and be part of this sad chore to go down to Tennessee. Now, my brother recounts that this was before the interstate highway system. So what would take 10 and a half hours today took over 20 hours to get from Staten Island to Tennessee in a convertible in December. My brother Bud recalls that most of the heat in the car was flying out the seams of that convertible as they took that trip for 20 hours. He said the speed limit in Washington, D.C. was 30 miles an hour, and they had to go through every hamlet and try not to get stopped for speeding because they knew that the local police were really on the ball when they saw an out-of-state, especially a New York license plate. So I looked up highway systems, and I found out that it was President Eisenhower in 1956 who decided to sign a proclamation for an interstate federal highway system. He was a true visionary, and we now reap the benefits of that vision. Now, one time I really understood the value of a highway system when I was going from the mountains of Virginia down to North Carolina. And my sister, who was a map reader, which was unfortunate, looked at the map and said, you know, if we take the highway, we're going to be going out of our way. We should go directly. Well, what she didn't take into account was directly was through the mountains. And so we took the direct route. A four-hour trip turned into an eight-hour trip. As I saw signs, I kid you not, that said speed limit 7 miles an hour because they were hairpin turns on this mountain, I was not pleased with my sister. She will tell you that if you ever talk to her. Ask her about the trip through the mountains. Highways are so very important, and we take them for granted now. Highways were important back in the time of Jesus, the ancient times. Very important to get goods and services from one community to another. And these highway systems, although they were primitive, they did take engineering. They took a lot of time. Our highway system, does anyone know how many years it took for our federal highway system? I looked it up. I Googled it. 35 years. President Eisenhower was long dead by the time it was done. And not only did we have the engineering difficulties to overcome, there were local politics, and there were some communities that said, no way, not in my backyard. And one was my former community in Washington, D.C., and I blessed them every time I got on that beltway that they didn't cooperate with that system. Highways are so very important. And Isaiah cries out that we are to make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up and every mountain and hill be made low. We think of the excavations of mountains when we've had to build highways. It's quite an engineering feat. And Isaiah is calling us today to make straight a pathway for our God. We Christian types say that God's kingdom will come and that part of our responsibility is to usher in that peaceable kingdom. And so it is our duty and our responsibility to make the path straight for God. Well, what does that mean? That means that every opportunity we have, we need to be speaking peace. Every opportunity we have, we need to be taking care of the people of God. Every opportunity we have, we need to deal with poverty in Door County and with all the issues that come up that have such ramifications for people. We, the people of God, need to usher in his kingdom. Now, I had the privilege this week to be at three funerals. And the reason it's a privilege is not because the people died, but because I could reflect on their life. And one of the people that I reflected on was a lady named Millie. When Millie was 89, she had to move to Door County to be nearer to her daughter. She spent her whole work, all her working years and raising her child in Appleton. She had nurtured all these wonderful relationships, and now at 89 years old, she had to relocate. And although she loved Door County, her heart was in Appleton. Now she had a choice. She could sit and wait for death, but that's not what Millie did. Millie ushered in God's kingdom at Scand, and there were so many people that were loved by Millie and were embraced by Millie. And she lived 9 years being a light and a witness. Sometimes life throws us curves and we don't know how to handle it. When we prepare the highway for God, we take those things with grace and we find ways to be God's person, even in situations that we don't want. The second person that I was privileged to speak about was Earl. And I found out that Earl had a dreadful childhood. He didn't have a lot of the privileges that most of our children have, and he was not loved like most children are. He did not have role models on how to be a good dad, how to be a good human being. But Earl made a choice. And he said, I want to be a certain type of person. And his wife told me that he worked every day of his life to be an ethical, upstanding man. And his children and grandchildren received that. It was not overnight. She said it took him a long time to figure out how to live. Preparing the Royal Highway is not an overnight enterprise. It takes time. And then the third person was Bob Davis. Now, Bob Davis had piled on many years before he died. And many of us know Bob Davis very well. And one of the stories that Nancy told me that was so impressive to me was that there was some kind of brouhaha in one of the villages, I don't know which one, but he stood up and he spoke against something that the majority wanted. And it really ruffled feathers. But he could see down the line and he saw that this would actually not be a good thing for his community. So he had the courage of his convictions and stood up. Now, Bob is a gregarious guy and he loved to be loved. And there were people that gave him the cold shoulder for years because of what he said, until they realized a few years later that he was right. Preparing the Royal Highway, preparing for the kingdom to come, means that we speak truth even when it's not accepted. How will you and I prepare for Christ's coming? How will we prepare the Royal Highway for the people that need Jesus, that need his care, that need his comfort, that need the challenge that he presents? Prepare the Royal Highway, sons and daughters of the King, so that when he comes, his kingdom can be ushered in. Let us pray. Lord, we're so grateful for the lives of those who have gone before us that prepared your highway. And now you give us the responsibility. And we ask that you would help us to speak peace. Help us to speak a word of grace. Help us to lift up those who are in trouble. Help us each and every day to prepare your highway, no matter how long it takes. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.